Good to be here this morning. We are completing some thoughts on today concerning faith and the faith, and on Wednesday we'll begin the introduction of hope. So we'll introduce hope. On Wednesday we looked at Joshua and Rahab, and we noticed their faith. And we took notice of Rahab according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31 and James 2 and verse 25. And we saw how she deceived the spies, how she hid the spies, how she sent those who were seeking after the spies another way. And she heard about, or they heard about rather, what God had did to the Egyptians and to the two kings as they were making their way to Jericho. And that was interesting and powerful, that how they heard about what God did. And remember how we talked about when God parted the Red Sea and he brought forth those 10 plagues, he did that, number one, to produce faith in his people, trust, confidence, credence in his people, but also to demonstrate to Pharaoh and to Egypt that he was the God of the heavens and the earth, and that he rules in all things. Well, those in Jericho heard about it, and we notice in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 9 that even the Philistines, they heard about it. And when they heard about it, the Philistine ruler at that particular time told his men to quit ye like men and to remember what the God of Israel did to the Egyptians. So what God did was, of course, not only beneficial to his people, but was successful. It was successful. Now that's an interesting point and a powerful point, because what God does and the trust that God's people should have in him, we should know, friends, and please note this down. Note this down. We will be successful if we stay with God. Period. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Now, when we consider another individual as relates to faith demonstrated and characteristics of faith, I want us to turn to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, we see another man faithful to God, faithful to God. Yet his people were in a great reproach. The enemies were looking at the people of God in Jerusalem and really making reproach of the people. The walls have been burnt down. The gates are torn down. It's just a horrible time for the people of God. And Hanani, according to Nehemiah 7 and verse number 1 and 2, was a faithful man. And he comes to Nehemiah and he tells Nehemiah, according to Nehemiah chapter 1, about the problems that are going on in Jerusalem. It's in Nehemiah chapter 1. Starting at verse number 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakali. It came to pass in the month of Shivlev, in the 12th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my faithful brethren, according to Nehemiah 7 and verse number 2, he was faithful, came with me from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who left from the captivity in the province are bearing great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard, now this is Nehemiah, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I fasted, prayed before the God of heaven. Now, one thing I wanted to bring out today as it relates to trust and confidence and faith in God, what is one of the characteristics of that? Well, the Bible demonstrates to us that we ought to pray without ceasing. That we ought to be a people who converse with God, talk to God. We understand that there is one faith. This system of faith teaches us to trust God, have faith in God, pray to God. Remember what his disciples asked for. Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, increase our faith. He taught them how to pray. Trust God. Remember when Jesus caused the fig tree to wither, and next thing you know, they walk by, and Peter says, Lord, the fig tree. Jesus said, have faith in God. Trust God. Friends, I don't know what's going to take for God's people to just truly trust Him without asking any questions. What would it take? One thing we see in Nehemiah, we see a man that is great distance from Jerusalem. He is Artaxerxes' cupbearer. He has a great job ahead of him. But we notice something about this man. He hears about the problems that's taking place in Jerusalem amongst God's people, and he responds in different ways. Number one, when he heard these things, he sat down, he wept, he mourned for days, he fasted, prayed. And notice what he says in his prayer. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before thee, night, now, day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, not trustworthy, not obedient, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return, meaning that if you become faithful, you come to yourself, if you repent, if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name, Jerusalem. Now, these are your servants and your people. Listen to the prayer of this great man of God, whom you have redeemed by your great power, your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear or reverence your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Few things I want us to take note of as it relates to characteristics of faith. True faith, number one, goes to God. True faith doesn't rely upon their own understanding. Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, trust in the Lord. Here's our problem. Here's man's problem. Here's leaders' problems. Here's husband's problems. Wives' problems. Here's our problem. Lean not to your own understanding. But I think, I don't think, but well, hold on, did nobody ask us that? God asked us to trust Him. You trust Him in your marriage, you trust Him as it relates to your finances, you trust Him in your spirituality, you trust God. Well, Brother Bonner, I know that's easier said than done. Who cares? Trust God. Now, I know that's blunt. May even sound a little mean, but friends, we have too many not trusting God today. We're trusting in our own riches. We're trusting in our own strength. We're trusting in our own understanding, what we think is right. That's the truth. That is the truth. And I understand that there is sometimes a distance between what God says and what we believe. That's all of us. But it behooves us to be online with Jehovah. It is in our best interest. And so here we have Nehemiah. He knew that he was in a situation he himself could do nothing about. He had to trust God. He wanted his people to trust God. He himself trusted God. And he wanted favor with the king, King Artaxerxes. He was his cupbearer. He wanted to make sure that if this is God's will, I want to go to him first. And most of the time when Mike Bonner gets in trouble is when I act first, pray second. But when I pray first, study first, meditate first, and then I move. Because what I'm moving on is what God has said. Not on what, well, this is the way I kind of figure it out. And that's where we get in trouble. That's where wives and husbands, they part ways. Here in the last 3 months, 4 months, I've experienced something that I don't think I've experienced before. Two of my preaching brethren have left their wives for other women. Some of men that I've broke bread with. I hear about it all the time, but these are men that I never thought would do that. You know what happened? They left the faith. They stopped trusting in God. And people do it all the time. So here's Nehemiah, and Nehemiah is trusting God. So notice, Nehemiah chapter 2. We see something very powerful with Nehemiah. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes. This is a Persian king now. This is a post-captivity book. When wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore, the king said to me, why is your face sad? Since you are not sick, this is nothing but sorrow of heart. He was feeling the distress of his people. But he knew for a fact that there was nothing that he himself could do about it because, number one, look how far he is from Jerusalem. He was going to need the favor of the king in order to leave where he was, Persia, and go to Jerusalem and to make sure that he could go and help Jerusalem, if you will, the Israelites, rebuild. Now, here's the point that I want to make. If we're going to be the people that God has desired for us to be, one of the characteristics of faith is to be a prayerful people. We rely upon God. We trust God. And whatever God's word says, we muster up the strength and the fortitude and the spiritual gumption to get it done. Why? What has God done for us that we ought to be willing to do that for him? That's the question. What has God done for us that we ought to be willing to do that for him? All right, he sent his son. What else? We receive all things from him. What else? What has God done for us? But what has he? Let's be specific. What has God done for us? Sir? All right. What does that mean? He sacrificed himself. What else? Okay. That's right. Gives us a breath of life. What else? Created us in his image. We sinned against God. What did he do? What did God do? Say again? I didn't hear you. How about God washing all his sins away? Question. Is that enough to stay faithful to God? It is. As a matter of fact, if God did nothing else, he's done enough. The day that we were baptized into Christ is the day that God washed away all of our sins. From that point forward, we say, Father, I trust you. a testimony. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, He crossed the Red Sea with His people, gave them a law. That should have been enough. Of course, we know that they had to grow. Well, we grow in grace. God's grace, Titus 2:11. Grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. God's grace teaches us to pray. God's grace teaches us to meditate. God's grace teaches us to love one another. It's all part of the faith, that system of belief. If God has done nothing else for us, He's done enough by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, giving us the gospel, that our sins are washed away. We ought to make up our minds to be faithful. Full of faith. But what happened to the children of Israel? Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. They didn't enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews 3, 12 and 19. And because the gospel which was preached wasn't mixed with faith. Mixed with faith. So I asked myself personally, as a Bible student, as a minister, as a shepherd in the Lord's church, is the Word of God mixed with faith in my life? Should I believe every single thing that God has commanded me to do? Should I? Yes, it should. And Brother Vonna, we have to grow to that point. That's true. That's true. But we've got to get there. And one thing I love about Nehemiah, and hopefully y'all will too, is that Nehemiah didn't trust in his own words, his own understanding, in order to approach King Artaxerxes. He trusted God. And so we have to trust God. And the characteristics of faith is trusting God. With Brother Royce means that I don't have to see everything in order to move forward. But sometimes, some of us do. We don't put our hands on it, we can't move forward. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. Romans chapter 8, hope that is seen is not hope at all. Nehemiah was going to God in hopes that he would receive favor before King Artaxerxes. Guess what happened? He received favor. And King Artaxerxes paid for everything pretty much. Is that right, Brother Brian? Did not God take care of Nehemiah? Did not God take care of the children of Israel when Nehemiah finally got there and he scoped out the land, if you will, and he saw what needed to be done, and he established the crews and the families, and they were fighting, or they had the sword and they had the hammer, and they were working together as family upon the wall, and they got the wall built up in 52 days. Did not God bless them? The answer is yes. So what does God want us to do? God wants us to be faithful just like that. And sometimes, we've all been there. We do it. Sometimes we act first, pray and study about it second. If we're led by the Spirit of God, then we are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit, how is one led by the Spirit? Romans 8, 2, by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the Word of God. If we're led by the Word of God, that means that God's people, God's men, they don't move until we know we're moving with God. So Nehemiah is a great example. Rahab was a great example last Wednesday. Joshua was a great example on Wednesday. We talked about Joshua, and we talked about Rahab, and today we talk about Nehemiah. Just great examples of God said it, let's move. Which means that if God didn't say it, there's no moving. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And the more I think about this and meditate upon it on my bed, that's figuratively speaking, the more I see as I mature, God doesn't want me to do anything that He has not said. Nothing. And every time you find people doing things that God has not said, there are repercussions. Y'all remember Uzzah? What did Uzzah do? He touched the Ark of the Covenant. God told them, who are the only ones that are supposed to have bore the Ark of the Covenant? Who? Was Uzzah a Levite? How about David when he numbered the children of Israel? Is God pleased with that? How about Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10 when they offered up strange fire unto the Lord? So the more we consider these things, actually what God is teaching us according to Ephesians 5, and I believe it's verse number 17, it may be 11, I think it's 17. Ephesians 5, verse number, it's 15. Ephesians 5, 15, yes. See then that you walk circumspectly. Walk carefully. Walk very carefully. And friends, this is the beauty of being a Christian. And the older I get, it's beautiful that, okay, I don't have to walk according to my own understanding. Remember what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and verse number 23? Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. Psalm 37 verse number 23, the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. So it behooves this man of God to trust God. And so I love again, and we ought to love verse number 4 of Nehemiah chapter 1, that when he heard these words, he sat down, he wept, he mourned, he fasted, he prayed. So these are some things that we need to consider. Here, this great man of God, he did that. Let's look at something else real quick. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Anyone want to make any comments? Anyone want to disagree? In Hebrews 11, verse number 30 through 40, our faith in God at times, depending on where we are, may cause us endure some things that are not right. Hebrews 11, verse 30 through 40. In Nehemiah's case, everything went his way. Brian, no problems. Everything went off with a hitch, if you will. God opened up those doors, and it seems as if Nehemiah just walked right through. No problem. The only problems he really had was with those naysayers, Sanballat, Geshem, and Tobias. Other than that, everything went off with a hitch. It was nice. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 through verse number 40, notice the language here. By faith, this is what we've been talking about for the last 2-3 weeks. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, for she had received the spies of peace. And what more shall I say? Time will fail me to talk about Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, Samson, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith, remember, faith coming by hearing by the word of God, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Y'all remember these stories in the Old Testament? Hebrew writers bringing these up by faith. These people, they listened to God. They listened to God. And God came through for them. But then notice, there was an opposite side to this faith. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And they did this by faith. They could have accepted the deliverance, if I can put it this way, you either deny God or we'll kill you. Well, in my words, we could say, kill me. I go with God. And friends, that's probably easier read than done. Would you agree, Brother Royce? It's probably easier read than done. I mean, some, like Peter, sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Judas, what'd I say, Peter? I'm sorry. Judas sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Peter denied the Lord how many times? Before the cock crew. And he was only asked a series of questions. There was only some things that were said about him. Can you imagine someone ready to take your life for the sake of Christ? You have to, whatever tool they want to use, whether it's quick or torture. And we find torture in this verse, number 35. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And so we have to personally ask ourselves as Bible students, as children of God, those who love God. I know we love God. We have to ask ourselves, am I willing to be tortured? It's no telling the way that our nation is going. And I'm probably one of the more moderate optimists. But the way that our nation is going, it won't be long that people will really be despising us because we're standing up against those things that are immoral. And instead of putting a bullet in us and making it quick, rather tie us up with chains and sit there and whip us for about a year. So we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to go through that now so when the time comes? It's just like proper preparation. It's just like having financial stability. You want to make sure that you plan beforehand, before the rainy day comes. Got a little bit of money set aside for the rainy day. And when the rainy day comes, you're able to bear it, if you will. But it's like anything else. We have to ask ourselves, am I willing to be tortured for the cause of Christ? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. This is a great faith builder right here. We'll come back to this Hebrews 11. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28, Jesus would say this to his disciples. This is what is called the limited commission. He sent his disciples out. And he says something to them that's very profound. I love this passage. It ought to be a passage that we keep in the forefront of our minds. Jesus says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." Friends, did you get that? Our soul cannot be killed, regardless of what some of the brethren are saying as it relates to annihilation. That's false doctrine. The soul cannot be killed, the spirit. But the body can. So Jesus said, "Fear not him that can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy," that's a different word than kill, "both soul and body." Where? Yeah. So, can you imagine the disciples going out, they're being persecuted, some of them being beaten, as in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 12, imprisoned, they're tortured, and in Acts chapter 5, verse 29 through 42, the disciples counted it joy that they were able to suffer shame for his name. Wow. Can you imagine taking a beating for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, all because you are naming the name of Christ? And after that beating, you're praying to God, thank you for allowing me to be in this position to suffer for your name. That's strong. And friends, Acts 5, verse number 29 through 42, that's strong language. The beating that they took and the attitude that they had, that we were able to suffer for the name of Christ. That's faith. That's trust. That's confidence. That's the word of God. So these are questions we have to ask ourselves. Am I willing to do that? And as time continues to go forth, I hope, pray, and trust that our faith is increasing and that we're adding to our faith, as Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and following, that we're adding to our faith. So when the difficult days do come, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we can stand. And friends, we can stand. We must stand. Why? Because we have this great hall of faith, if you will, these individuals that stood the test of time. But notice what it goes on to say, verse number 36. Still others had trial, Hebrews 11, verse 36. Still others had trial of mockings, scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having providing something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Friends, God wants us to have that faith. He wants us to have that confidence just as they had. And so when we consider, what are some characteristics of faith? Perseverance, steadfastness, obedience. So these individuals trusted God because God said, I'll take care of you. In other words, you hang in there, you do what is right, I'll see you. And friends, that ought to be a response to our face. And it's tough sometimes. And Brother Branyan, some people, they give up when they ought to just dig down deeper. Evelyn and I were talking about that situation I brought up earlier about those brothers who had left their wives, ministers of the gospel, men who know better. She said, Mike, this makes me want to dig down deeper into the truth. In the words of Foy E. Wallace, if not, why not? It scares me that men who I believe knew the word would do that. And just leave the Lord like that. Men who are mounting the pulpit every day, every Sunday, teaching God's people every Wednesday, Brother Dennis, and they just leave like that? They just leave the faith like that? Friends, it's real. Satan is real. He's trying to destroy families. He's trying to destroy churches. Yea, our lives. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll allow just a little bit of that sin to enter in, and the next thing you know, our faith begins to dwindle. It begins to become corrupt, distorted. And our obedience, it goes out the window after a period of time. The next thing you know, we're off to the races. So faith teaches us, husband, love your wife. Amen. Wives, respect your husbands. Husband and wives, bring up your children and nurture the admonition of the Lord. be obedient. That's what faith teaches. And the world that we live in today is so far away from the truth. 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 and following. In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, and the list goes on, and they will wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. But Brandon, can I make that up? That's Bible. So we have to watch our lives closely. Every decision, every move, every step, everything that we do is calculated strategically. We're just not walking around haphazardly. Friends, we're going somewhere. We're pilgrims. We're going somewhere. It's called heaven. We're going somewhere. It's called glory. And on that day, God will reveal His Son. And when God reveals His Son, then we'll hear, well done. And then we can rest. Till then, we fight the good fight of faith. We lay hold on eternal life. That's Bible. That's the Word of God. So we consider, what does faith teach us? What are some characteristics? Obedience. Genesis chapter 6, 13 through 22, just mentioning this. There Noah was obedient to the Father. That he did everything according to the word of the Lord. Now you consider, them building that ark and how gigantic it was. We have a replication of it. What is that, Kentucky? What is that replication? Is it in Kentucky? Imagine one man orchestrating that. And the Bible teaches us that he did everything exactly how God said it. To the point that during the days of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 14, verse 14 and verse 20, you know, God brings up Noah as a man that if when sin was in the land, it would only be three men that would deliver themselves. Everybody else would perish. I think it was Noah, Daniel. What was the last one? Job. So the question we ask ourselves is, are we building our lives on the Word of God? Perseverance. James chapter 5 and verse number 11, he brings up Job. There's Job up. And how God was very pitiful. God was merciful. God saw the things that Job went through. And I like what Job says in Job 13, 15. He said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Sometimes when the torture and the persecution comes, we begin to lean on what we think. Friends, it's one thing to listen to God when we want to. It's another thing to listen to God when we don't want to. It's one thing to listen to God when we want to. It's another thing to listen to God when we don't want to. What do you mean by that? My mind listens to God when I agree with him. But what happens when I don't agree with him? Job, remember what he said in Job 19:25? He says, I know my Redeemer lives. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Trust him with your marriage. Trust him with your children. You trust him with your job. You trust him in the church. Trust God. Trust him. Trust God. We trust God. Every move we make, we need to ask, is this what God wants? If not, we can find ourselves in the Atlantic Ocean in a figurative sense. Last but not least, steadfastness. Obedience, perseverance, and steadfastness. In Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 15, the Hebrews writer brings up some very interesting points. We won't finish them. but brings up some interesting points. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, they come about hearing by the word of God, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. The King James Version uses the word provocation. In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, saw my works 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation. Can you imagine God being angry with you? Brings tears to my eyes when I know that God is angry. Do you hear me? When I know he's angry with me. See, he's angry with me. He said, they always go astray. Notice the location of their straying away in their hearts. They have not known my ways, nor so I swear in my wrath they shall not enter in my rest. And he talks about the evil hearts of unbelief, having confidence, being steadfast to the end of verse number 14. But the key is that let's listen to God. Let's not harden our hearts. Let me end with this. Go to 1 Peter 5. Let's look at verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter 5. It's all about submission. Faith teaches me a characteristic of faith is submission, humility. It's hard for man to be humble. Sometimes I wonder if it's natural or not. Sometimes I think it's natural to be prideful. And it takes so much work to be humble. He says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Here's the purpose, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him who cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. First 9. Resist him. Steadfast, notice where, in the faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers. By your brotherhood, your kinfolk in the Lord, in the world. God wants us to be faithful. So therefore, we must be faithful. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain of the Lord. I pray that God will bless us, help us to be faithful, as we strive to do his will more and more every day. God bless you.